Good afternoon, folks. My name's Craig, and this is the Over the Fence show here on Raglan Community Radio 98.1 FM. And to our listeners as well, coming out of Hamilton on 89.0 Free FM. And today on the show, we're going to go have a quick look at some headlines. There's not too many about, and then we'll have a look at the weather. Have a little look at some gardening to-dos, and then a bit later in the show, we're going to be having a chat to guy I just ran to today, actually. He's to talk about what he's up to in a little town called Glen Innes. No, not in Auckland, but in Australia. So that's all coming up on the show. For now, here goes, Hey Bo Diddley. Bye, Bo Diddley.
One day she decides she'd go for a ride with a pistol and a sword by her side. She rolled right up to my front door, knocked and knocked till her fist got sore. When she turned and walked away, all I could hear my baby say,
ladies and gentlemen. That was Bo Diddley there. And now some primary sector headlines time now on the Over the Fence show. And the number of farms confirmed as having an invasive pest that has wreaked havoc on crop overseas has spiked in the past fortnight. Yes, first discovered in New Zealand in March last year, the fall army worm can chew through more than 350 plant species. Ministry of Primary Industries has said there's now been 45 positive detections of the pest in the North Island maize and sweet corn crops, with 17 of these detections occurring in the past couple of weeks. And MPI's Biosecurity Response Director John Walsh said a further 45 farms had reported possible sightings. And the Ministry's Biosecurity Response had recently been focused on scouting and surveillance in key regions to understand the timing and scale of fall army worm incursion, Walsh says. So, yes, that was last year. And so that's... Yeah, there was fears that it would survive the winter because it wasn't going to get cold enough, and it appears that maybe that's happened. And commercial bakers are feeling the heat as the nationwide egg shortages that drives up wholesale prices for the key ingredient. A ban on battery-caged hens has left some supermarket shelves empty and prompted cartons to be rationed. The Egg Producers Federation has said more than 75% of chicken farmers have had to change their farming methods or their career because of the ban. So, yes, that's... kind of had to happen, but it's still gonna cause problems, of course. And speaking of another, biosecurity officials are investigating how plant disease got into the country after it was detected on a commercial tomato crop in the Tasman district. Ministry of Primary Industry said plants in three glasshouses were removed and destroyed before Christmas after testing picked up a potato spindled tuber viroid. Yes, and yet again, John Walsh said the virus was not harmful to humans or animals, but could cause a loss of production of plants from the tomato and potato family. So, yeah, it's bringing the focus back on biosecurity in New Zealand isn't it, folks? And dairy prices have started the year on a sour note, with prices falling at the global dairy auction overnight. Average price dipped 2.8% to US $3,365 a tonne. This follows 3.8% fall at the previous auction last year. The price of wholemeal milk powder, which is the ingredient Fonterra sells the most of on the auction platform, dropped 1.4% to US $3,208 a tonne. So, yes, there's a... But it's always a little up and down, these things. But so there's a few of the headlines anyways. And come back with some weather after this one by Mississippi John Hurt, called John Henry.
All right. And he'd hit the double lick, you know. Bam, 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 bam. Like I hit these strings. Down. You know, I really heard the first thing I got was with John Henry's house. And carry it to my captain. Oh, tell him I'm gone. Won't you tell him I'm gone? John Henry, he left his hammer right side the road, right side the road. And carry it to my captain. Yes, tell him I'm gone. Won't you tell him I'm gone? This is the hammer that killed John Henry, but it won't kill me. No, it won't kill me. Honey, that's my home. Well, that's my home. That's why I'm gone. You just take this hammer and carry it to my captain. Oh, tell him I'm gone. Won't you tell him I'm gone?
Folks, that was Mississippi John Hurt there with John Henry, his song, and the weather today. Well,
we got time for about
it's
half more.
Kind of cleared now. It was raining before, but yeah, it seems to have cleared a bit now. But yeah, it might be periodic little showers coming back here in Whanganui, anyways. And ex-tropical cyclone hail moves over the North Island today, pushing out to the east. What am I listening to here, folks? Yeah, they will stop now anyway. Sorry, folks, a little distracted there. Where was I? Yes. Bringing, ex-tropical cyclone hail. Pushes out to the east this evening, bringing some wet and windy weather. And the South Island has a south-to-southwesterly airflow building. In the North Island, well, showers for the Upper North Island. Rain this morning for Auckland eases. Some rain for the Bay of Plenty eases this afternoon. Sunny spells break through this afternoon for Northland. And southwesterly winds strengthen during the day, becoming strongest over Auckland with a chance of coastal gales then easing overnight. And rain for the lower North Island today with heavy falls, especially south of Napier in the east and about Taranaki, easing this evening. And southeasterly winds are strong to gale force, tending to the south this afternoon, then easing from this evening. And north of Napier in the east, early rain clears, then some sun may break through. Rain or showers pushing back in the evening as southerly quarter winds push northward. Oh, gales, yeah, winds, sorry, yeah. And there could be thunderstorms, there's a chance of a thunderstorm anyway. So it's kind of some of your weather there. And what about here in the Waikato? What can we expect? Pretty much what you see out the window today for the next week, folks. It's going to be sunny spells. It's kind of rainy tomorrow. And showers on Saturday again. And then Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday. And every other day is kind of cloudy with some sort of sunny spells, I guess. Today's 22 degrees Celsius. This evening will be 16 degrees Celsius. And rest of the week, daytime temperatures are somewhere between 21 and 25 degrees. And nighttime temperatures for rest of the week are between 13 and 15 degrees. And the winds are westerly today. There's not much of a breeze out there, to be honest, at the moment. Turning south-south-westerly tomorrow, east-south-westerly Friday, south-south-westerly Saturday, south-westerly Sunday, south-south-westerly Monday, and south-westerly again next week. So, yeah, from kind of Friday, it's going to be in the east, you know, south-westerly sort of quarter coming out of there. Humidity today is 98%, which is a pretty high one. The sun rose this morning at 6:08 a.m. and will set at 8:44 p.m. this evening. And as you may be able to tell, folks, I'm slightly unorganised today, but here we go. the actual day length is 14 hours and 35 minutes, and the length of visible light is 15 hours and 36 minutes. And the beautiful moon, ladies and gentlemen, is a waxing gibbous moon, 83% illuminated, and that will rise at 11:28 p.m. and set at 9:38 in the morning. And tomorrow, yes, indeed, today being the 11th of the 1st, and tomorrow will be 1 minute and 11 seconds shorter than it is today, so a lot of ones all rolling through there, aren't there, folks? So there's your kind of weather for the day, and now I'm going to play a song requested by today's guest, Paul. Welcome to Raglan Community Radio Studio, Paul.
Thanks, Craig.
And you've requested, because you do a show yourself, don't you?
Yeah, I work in community radio in Australia, in Glen Innes, up on the Northern Tablelands, 2CBD FM. And I do a segment called Come Togethers, where I play a different version of Come Together each week, and then some other covers, because I know I'll never run out of material. There's thousands of them.
And this I never realised that, you know.
Yeah, Jolene is another one that's got a huge number of covers, Dolly Parton, but yeah. I don't go there. And so this is Gary Clark Jr. on the Justice League movie soundtrack with an overdriven, wild version.
All right, here we go. Come together, Gary Clark Jr. to get the cover by Gary Clark Jr., I think it was it? Yeah. And we're just talking about other music and stuff here, but it's gardening to-do's time here on the Over the Fence show. And on Sunday and Monday, I was at a seed sorting day with a bunch of people, and it was a lot of fun sorting out seeds to go in the Aroha seed stand, which is just in the hallway, or the entranceway to the town hall here in Raglan, on the main street, in Bow Street. And so that's there as well, so you can go and grab seeds there and take them home. It's all set up for you. But anyway, I'm supposed to be talking about gardening, aren't I? So this week, if you're gardening by the moon, well, it's a good time to plant late-season potatoes like agrias or heathers and keep watering them, those kumara slips. Probably might, yeah, maybe later on today you might need to do some watering, but yeah, it's been kind of wet the last couple of days. It's been great, actually. And what else can you plant here in the Waikato this month? Well, these things, ladies and gentlemen: alisum, basil, beans, beetroot, blueberries, carrots, chrysanthemums, cosmos, courgettes, cucumber, daisy, delphiniums, dianthus, fuchsias, gerberas, and patients. Lavender, lettuce, marigolds, mesclun, pansy, and viola, parsley, passion fruit, petunia, potatoes, radish, strawberry, spring onions, and sweet corn. So there you are. There's a few things you can plant this week. And I'll come back with some public service announcements maybe up to this song, but yet again, Paul, our guest today, has chosen this one. So you want to tell us a story about this one, Baker Boy with...
Yeah, so Baker Boy's a super positive. He trained as a dancer in Brisbane, but he's like a triple threat. He does singing and everything, right. And he's part of the clan, music clan that started with Yothu Yindi with the treaty, which was massive. And he's doing a sort of this project where he does duets and covers of iconic Australian songs with the artist, but then he also does. New chorus, new verses in his language, which is the Yolngu language, one of the indigenous languages. So I find it pretty interesting that he hooks people with the iconic song, and then they can listen to some Yolngu language singing, which I find pretty interesting.
That is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. So this is Wish You Well with Bernard Fanning, with Bernard Fanning, extra lyrics by Baker Boy.
All right. And Bernard Fanning, of course, was Powderfinger fame, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, here we go, folks. Baker Boy, Wish You Well, featuring Bernard Fanning.
Everybody's going through, you can never tell. I wish there was a way that I could break the shell and set your body free like you're cool as hell. Well, I'm afraid, baby, lay down, no, I'm using. Not a white, no, 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 let you come, no, 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 no,
no. I was supposed to be performing on this main stage right here, but let's go to Plan B. Party with Baker Boy. Makes you feel right. Make room for the feelings you hide. Got love for the whole world, peace sign. High rise, low light. Same blood as my brother on the flip side. You can't win at this game, it's a deep fake. Some things you just can't replicate. Nah, y'all getting out of lead. No more bang on the milk, no more down. Got a cool, no sleep that I can't put it all. Do a trick ending out of gang, eight time.
Time.
right, folks. That was Baker Boy with Buna Fang and doing Wish You Well. You'd recognise that song. There was Baker Boy. What was the language again, Paul?
Yolngu language. Okay. Which is it's up in near Darwin in the I think East Arnhem or West Arnhem land, somewhere up there.
Right.
And Yothu Yindi were in that language culture and. What we were talking about, the King Stingray is another group in the same language. Because there's about 300 or 400 indigenous languages in Australia.
So. Yeah, right, eh? Yeah, we're going to play a King Stingray song pretty soon. And I know this is the one Aaron plays on the morning show quite a bit, and it's a good one. So we'll get to that soon. But firstly, some public service announcements today. Well, like I mentioned earlier, the Aroha seed stand is sitting out in the entranceway to the town hall put on by the wonderful people over there. At the Whangaroa Environment Centre, and so you just wander in there, grab whatever seeds are there, and they've got some potting mix and some punnets, so all you can do is take them home, give them water, and they'll jump up out of the ground. And also the tool library, of course, is open next door in the Whangaroa Environment Centre, so you can go in there and sign up to be a member, and you can gather a number of tools in there. They've got all sorts of stuff in there, like barbecues and things as well, so it's an excellent asset to the town, thanks to the Whangaroa Environment Centre, and they are also putting on a Radical Law for Climate and Nature science talk next Wednesday night at the front bar of the Harvey Hotel, so down the pub there. They're going to do it's another in a series of the science nights they do, and this is by Teal Crossan, who's an environmental barrister, so she's going to be having a talk, and it's all free, just walk in there, and she's going to be talking about Radical Law for Climate and Nature. So that's next Wednesday night. So yeah, there's a few public service announcements for you. Oh, and, of course, the Growers Market is on a Friday night as well. So down from the Old School Arts Centre. So you can go in there and buy your fresh produce or fresh seedlings or whatever off the local growers. So, yes, all these things are happening. And I think I'll leave it there for public service announcements. And now we're going to play King Stingray. Mickey Mana, is that how you say that one?
Yep.
Mickey Mana. All right, here we go. King Stingray, Mickey Mana. This one goes out to Paul. And I suppose you, Aaron, because I know you like this one.
Yeah.
All right, folks, that was King Stingray there. And now we're going to be chatting to our guest in the studio today. Paul, welcome yet again to the studio.
Cheers, Craig. Yeah, I'm on holiday here. I had a family Christmas in the Wairarapa. My sister lives there. And I'm decided to have a bit of a visit to places I never went to when I grew up. So I grew up in Upper Hutt in near Wellington. And I've never been to the Manawatu, the Taranaki. Never really been to New Plymouth. And I know I've never been to Raglan, so I wanted to go to these places, and I'm having a ball.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah.
And I always visit community stations when I travel because I'm involved in one, as I said before.
All right, and so what community stations have you been to in New Zealand on your trail so far?
Well, in Masterton, there's Arrow FM.
Yeah.
And I had a great visit there with a guy called Michael Wilson, and they've got a special setup. They inherited a commercial radio station's setup, so they already had studios with sound deadening and double windows and everything.
Nice.
In the heart of Masterton.
Right.
And they've got a nice setup. Yours is the second one I've visited. I saw your on-air sign through the window, walking down the street, and I thought, well, that's an invitation if ever I saw one.
Absolutely it is, yeah. One of our DJs, Paul, made that beautiful looking on-air sign. I'm pretty sure that's Paul's handiwork.
Very nice.
It's a fine thing.
Very deco.
Yeah. And you're from, live in a little town called Glen Innes, not to be mistaken with Auckland's GI, of course, but Glen Innes in Australia.
Yeah, well, we call Glen Innes GI too, over there. So I live on the Northern Tablelands. It's 1,100 metres high, so it's a cool climate, so very much like a Wellington sort of low North Island climate. We get snow maybe a couple of days a year.
So this is northern New South Wales?
It's just close to the border with Queensland. And it's sort of level with Byron Bay, but up on the what we call the Tablelands.
Right.
Town of about 5,000 people.
Okay.
With a nice active community radio station called 2CBD FM.
Right.
There's a very active drama group and plenty of things to do. I bought in the town 3 years ago, and my tenant moved out, so I moved in 6 months ago, so I'm becoming part of the town. It's great.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah.
And you're saying a bit of a farming town is mostly like a beef stud farm.
Yeah, beef breeding. Beef cattle breeding and meat production as well.
Right.
It's a big one of the profiles that I was telling you about that I do the interviews was there's an agriculture research station there, founded in 1902.
Right.
So it was having its 120th anniversary. So we did an outside broadcast there
and
talked to a few people and interviewed a few cattle. They've got some really interesting breeding and genetic programs there. So that's where it gets its money from. We've got a massive wind farm just out of town, generates a lot of jobs and revenue. So they do a lot of community grants as well. So vibrant community.
Well, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Yep. And Drama Club, and that's quite an artful bunch too, by the sounds of things.
So our radio station is in an old church, and our local movie theatre is in another old church about one block away. And they show new release movies, and that finances a bit of drama and repertory. And in fact, I have a new project. They just did a play in the format of a radio play. So the actors were in costume, but they were reading the script from a lectern, and they each had a nice a little mic, and we've recorded that. And my first job when I get back is editing that.
Right.
And we'll be – so there was an audience. But my first job is to edit it, and that'll be broadcast as a radio play. The Importance of Being Earnest by Oscar Wilde.
Yes, indeed.
Never ages. So we're starting to collaborate more and more.
Okay. What's another famous Milkwood?
Under Milkwood.
Dylan Thomas, that's right. They
did that a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
We're talking that the radio play format's good for them because they don't have to put on a full production.
Yeah.
And through the COVID years, they were trying to do stuff that didn't need a lot of preparation and rehearsal, and this radio play format suits them quite well. So,
nice, all right.
Yeah, beginning of a new project for me to add to my other projects.
Well, sounds an interesting one anyways.
Yeah.
And you were on a three-year van trip around Australia prior to that, weren't you?
I left. I retired and left Sydney in a van. And travelled around mostly New South Wales because the borders were closed.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes.
New South Wales is sort of the size of Texas, so I found plenty to do.
Right.
And, that was good fun.
And was that during when all the farms were flooded and that? When was that, last year?
I think I got the sweet spot. It was just when the farms were coming out of drought, but they were starting to green up, but they hadn't yet flooded.
Right.
So
I had
this nice window of a couple of years where it was nice, but not too nasty. But yeah, it's all pretty terrible there. Now, I'm staying at the Soulscape up in Manu Bay, and we're talking about fruit and veg prices, and even the Europeans find fruit and veg price here in New Zealand expensive. I told them what the fruit and veg prices in Australia are at the moment because of the floods, you know, like capsicum for $15 a kilo and stuff like that.
Right.
And they went, ooh,
okay.
Not so bad here.
Yeah, they have a tough time over there. You know, it can't be easy farming over there, you know. It's all like, it's either flooding or it's real dry or something, you know. It's not so conductive to a lot of it in most places.
Well, they do a lot more of what's called mixed farming now. So they, instead of a family farm always doing the same thing, they read the, I don't fully understand them, but they read things like the Southern Oscillation Index and the Indian Ocean Dipole and the El Nino and La Nina and go, so this next season we should run cattle, or this next season we should plant canola.
Right.
So they're quite, you know, they really mix it up, but it's, or they do nothing because they know if this is going to be unprofitable, they just let it ride. Old idea of grandpa did this and dad did this and, you know, the sisters did this and the brothers did this and we'll always do the same.
Yeah.
It's sort of dying out because it's just unprofitable and they have to pick what sort of farming to do depending on what the season's going to be. So that's pretty interesting.
It is really interesting. Onto it. I wonder if it'll go like that in New Zealand in some way, you know, with variation of climate.
The extreme, I mean, you've got the progression and the change happening, but what we have, I guess, in Australia is super extremes, you know.
Yeah. It's not kind of as extreme as Australia just yet, you know, but this is a lovely summer. It's, you know, it's been quite wet so far, but the last two or three summers have been really, really dry and the water table's dropped really quite low.
Oh, okay.
And the summers are getting milder as well. So, yeah, it's certainly not as extreme as Australia, but the changes are certainly coming along, you know. Yeah.
Well, I think from what I've heard, New Zealand's reached peak dairy, so you've got to do something else.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's
right. And just do
more
dairy, right?
Yeah. Well, that's right, yeah. I don't know. I feel like there's cows in places where there probably shouldn't be, like down Canterbury, for example, places down there.
I have heard that from other people, yeah.
And the Waikato are fine, you know, so mostly clay soils and things like that, you know. But there's been a lot of work going over here on planting up, like, the streams and the rivers and things like that to stop the effluent and whatever, and the fertilizer running into the waterways. And I guess, is there something like that in Australia happening, or?
Yeah, absolutely, there's a couple of aspects to that. You know, the big news items these days, methane from cows.
Oh, yes.
And just one of the simple ways I read about the other day is fencing your dams where the water is so that the cows don't go into the dam to drink.
And
just doing that so you don't have the bacteria in the water can really drop methane production on the farm. Not just, it's not really animal methane, but it's farm methane. And so just fencing and planting around the edges of the dam to improve that water quality. But it's also happening in streams.
Yeah.
And there's a guy, I can't remember his name, he was quite radical about slowing water movement through the soil. to help with salinity and making these swales and there these things be, that follow contour lines.
Like Bill Mollison, like it's, permaculture kind of idea.
It's a guy like that, and it's called regenerative farming.
Ah, yes, yes.
And it's all about reducing salinity as well, but basically slowing the travel of water through the landscape.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And part of that is planting the waterways as well.
Right, okay.
And it used to be pretty radical, but it's becoming just on the edge of the mainstream now because people can see the results.
Yeah.
Because he's been preaching it for 10, 20 years. Yeah.
I wonder what his name is. I probably would have heard of him, probably, anyways. I think the whole, the farming thing, certainly over here, and it sounds like in Australia too, is sort of changing slightly towards that. I mean, there's a big push over here for regenerative agriculture at the moment. You know, everyone's talking about it, and there's even a white paper before government about it. But, for me anyway, the way I kind of look at it is that, like, it's probably going to make less pollutants and things like that than what's called conventional farming, right? What most farmers will be doing at the moment, but it's less productive in a way. You know, you're going to get less sort of produce out of it at this stage, anyway. And because the government's got its hand on it, it's coming away from where it probably could be. You know, as far as you can still use glyphosates and synthetic fertilizers and things like that, and still call yourself a regenerative farmer, whereas the actual what regenerative farming is moving towards anyway is basically organics, right? And that's already there. It's been established for decades and decades, right? So,
Well, I think, the governments can get involved, but it seems that if a neighbour tries something and it works, then their neighbours start trying it. So it's that grassroots of showing the results. And that might take 10 years to show some results.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
That conservative needing to prove before changing is a bit slower, but it seems to work, and it's gathering pace. At least where I see it, what I see in Australia, it's gathering pace.
Mm. Yeah, and your mixed farming ideas, there's a little bit of that coming in here now. Not to those extremes where it's like canola 1 year and beef the next or whatever, but there's a lot more. Instead of just having cows or just having sheep or just beef, there's a lot more mixed sort of, in the same season, right? You're growing crops as well as your animals and things like that. So it's all, there's movements towards that, to be honest. So, it is coming, which is, I think, is good anyway, personally.
Well, I really noticed at first, in the early part of that van trip, I was in an area where it's traditionally cattle and sheep. And it was all canola, but it was planted on what you wouldn't call a canola field. So where those sorts of grain crops are, millimeter flat, laser leveled paddocks that are the size of Texas, basically huge things.
Right, right.
This was rolling hillsides with trees, and the canola was planted around the trees. So it wasn't prime canola land, but the conditions were right for it. And that really made me think, that's unusual.
Okay. It's quite a big thing in New South Wales, isn't it, canola?
The farmers are all being pestered now by people taking selfies in the fields of canola and sunflowers as well, and it's causing a bit of an issue on the farms and biosecurity access of all these people taking Insta selfies of in the canola field, it's a thing that happened this last season.
Right.
Sort of trying to stamp it out or control it a little bit and have places people go to rather than travelling over every farm.
I think that's fair enough too, man, because, you don't want people wandering all over your land all the time and trampling your crops. And do they ever do, mixed crops, canola and something else, both in the same kind of paddock, or is it just
I'm not an expert. I haven't come across it from what I've seen. I don't really look into it so much. But but there'll be changes. There'll be red sorghum. There's large areas of red sorghum, and which I discovered red sorghum is the main ingredient of Milo.
Is it really? Red sorghum?
Yeah.
Where's one? I've never heard of that. Red sorghum's the main ingredient of Milo, eh?
Yeah.
Well, there you go, folks.
So not just chocolate.
Yeah, all right.
So, there'll be that or maize or canola in a sort of rotation, but not really together.
All right. And have you been on like a community radio tour around New South Wales as well, have you?
Yes. So I was talking to you earlier that my main project is field recordings of non-profit organisations in my town, and I do media short profiles of them, and that suits me because I still travel a lot, and I didn't want to be tied down to the same time slot every week.
Yeah.
So I still travel a bit, mainly by motorbike, actually. And, I always call in to the places and see how they're set up and what are the volunteer, what are the paid positions and just how they engage with their communities and just sort of stealing ideas, really.
Yeah, it's a good way to do it. Yeah.
And then what I do when we have a committee meeting, I come back and say, well, I saw this, you know, and I travel a bit more than the other announcers. It's good fun.
And as a setup we've got here, like I was explaining earlier, is that kind of similar, would you say, to a lot of various other community radio?
I think so, yeah. So you've got about 30 presenters, you said?
Yeah, there's about 30 different DJs doing shows.
So really open door, literally, your door is open.
Door is open,
see it there.
Yeah, yeah, and the windows.
And
yeah.
I guess with a little bit of training and a little bit of vetting, so people are appropriate on air. Super open door policy, and I'm a big fan of community radio, and looks like you're doing it, and my one does, of doing stuff that commercial stations will never do. I don't see the two worlds in competition to each other. I see them as being quite different.
Yeah.
And as long as community radio is different, it's got nothing to worry about, the commercials, you know. They're two different worlds for me, and that access to anyone is the thing that makes it community radio.
Absolutely, it does. There's no. I mean, I suppose Aaron that does the morning show plays, well, probably not pop sort of commercial music really, but you know, like a lot of modern music. But everyone's, you know, we've got world music shows, you know, all different
types.
Yeah,
I was looking at your schedule here up on the wall, which
I'm
going to take a photo of and take back to my station show them what you're doing.
So what ideas can you take from Raglan Community Radio back to, what is it, 2GB or did you say?
2CBD. It's a funny call sign. Apparently there's a few Rasta and reggae and herbal groups that want our call sign, CBD. But it's a historical one based on it was actually started in a town nearby called Deepwater.
Right.
Which has got a really good brewery now, which I go to every now and then.
Yeah, yeah.
And what I would take is, the colour coding on your weekly schedule. I like that. That really explains whether it's a local DJ or a auto DJ and that. So, I'll be taking that back with me.
Yeah, don't upset that. Yeah, it's like auto DJ, and also from our friends over at Free FM, where this show goes to as well. We play a few of their shows over here as well.
Yeah. So where's Free FM?
Coming out of Hamilton.
Yeah. Hamilton, okay.
Yeah, in Hamilton, yeah. So, they've been going quite a while, I think. But yeah, I think Raglan Community Radio is the longest running independent community radio station in New Zealand, I think.
Fantastic. Yeah. And behind you, there's a photo. Is that your outside broadcasting setup?
No, that was actually the float that we had in the New Year's Parade 2 years ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Fine looking thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great with the radio tower on top.
That was Paul designed that. We won first prize for that. And, well done, Paul, again. Yeah, so that was,
So Raglan has a Christmas float parade.
Yes, New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve parade. Float parade.
Yep. And the station put on another one this year. It wasn't as good as that one. And we had the station's got two generators, right? Because we wanted to put the speakers on the back to make loud noises as we were going around. But unfortunately, neither of them worked that day. Which we need to get fixed up because just civil emergency, right? We're going to have the station going and that, which is another great thing about community radio, of course, is like, you know, it's right here. And that was another bonus during like COVID and that. Aaron Aaron and Mucky, who you know, the employees of the station, I guess, they got all the local COVID data and that, which you couldn't find anywhere else, and broadcast it locally.
Yeah, yeah.
And made, yeah, beautiful, Mucky made beautiful graphics and things, and which was eventually adopted by the DHB, the District Health Board in Waikato, because it looks nice. So good. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Another little bonus to community radio. Yeah.
I think one other aspect of community radio that I've come across is people, often older people, it's the only station they listen to, and they listen to it when they wake up and they go to sleep with it. So it's a real companion for some of the people in our community, and I think in COVID it was even more of a companion.
For sure.
In that way, you know. And so being able to do local announcements and local data or just local stuff, for me, my thing is local voices, is irreplaceable, you know. It's so important for people who might be housebound or in lockdown, as it happened. I'm a big fan of it. As I said to you, I did it 40 years ago in Melbourne, when everything was analog and tape. And when I retired, I went, oh, I used to like doing that. I might find it again. And now it's all digital. It's a breeze.
Yeah, it's certainly easier than must be. I don't
have to use a scalpel and tape. Sellotape on tape anymore, for editing.
Nice, that's old school. It was Melbourne, and even back then, was it a vibrant sort of, you know, because it's got the reputation as a lot of great music comes out of there, and lots of different sort of music in that. Was it like that then?
Oh, absolutely. So I was involved in a station called 3RRR, which is one of the probably flagship community stations, and if you visited it, you probably wouldn't tell that it's a community station. It's very professional.
Right.
And so when I was there during its 10th anniversary, and the 10th birthday celebrations, I think, went for 6 months, including concerts, and they had a whole building and a rooftop, and they'd have live concerts on the rooftop.
Cool.
All this sort of stuff. Really professional radio booths and studios, and I listened to people, interviews of like ABC radio announcers. ABC's like the big government public broadcaster in Australia, and a few of them, when they retire, say, well, I started at 3RRR, so, or some other community station. So so they go from that, like an internship, to a professional career. There was some seriously serious music culture and pretty cool culture. Even then, that was mid-80s.
Right, okay.
As I say, I was fortunate that I participated in the 10th celebrations. They even cut a 45-inch vinyl, a 45 RPM, what do they call it, a 7-inch single?
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
Because it was before... It was before CDs, kiddies, and it was two or three songs that the station recorded about the 10th anniversary,
right?
And limited pressing, and that's how established it was back then, it still is, big time.
Okay,
And that's in Collingwood, which is sort of hipster central in Melbourne. You know,
right, so. Collingwood is right, eh? Yeah.
Collingwood and Carlton and those areas. So. Yeah, it was pretty vibrant. And, as I said, everything was analog, so it was a bit different doing editing. And I did I worked with a natural history program called the Eclectic Parrot, which is a type of parrot. It's a species of parrot.
Oh, it actually is, right.
Yeah. And I did a lot of spoken word interviews about traditional medicine or indigenous plants or wetland reclamation and stuff like that. So I've come full circle 40 years later.
Now, we're talking about wetland reclamation way back then even. Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a popular topic over here now, but probably not back then, I wouldn't say.
Well, you know, in Australia, wetlands aren't so common, so they need to hold on to what they got.
Yeah, I think and I can't remember if it's in the Waikato or nationwide in New Zealand, there's only 10% left.
Really?
Out of, you know, what it originally was, you know?
Yeah. I think people love to drain them.
Drain it out and pasture and that. But the natural, again, you know, coming around, you know, full circle again, really, is the whole indigenous you know, medicinal use of plants and things like that as well. That's that's something that's you know, I hear quite a bit of over here, or around Raglan anyways, and in the band places. So it's interesting how things go around and come back again like that. All right. Well, what's another song request you have? What's the show called? Here and Now, isn't it?
Here and Now is my weekly show. Even though I'm still travelling, I've been sucked into doing a weekly show, so that's okay. It's only a couple of hours a week. Why don't you look for something like a Bobby Bland tune?
Bobby Bland, okay. The Australian? No,
he's an old blues singer.
Righto.
Soul R&B, I should say.
Ain't No Love in the Heart of the City, members
Beautiful,
only.
Yeah. So, Ain't No Love in the Heart of the City. I watched on Netflix not so long ago a great series called Beforeigners, which was about time-traveling Vikings. And this was, and I rediscovered this song, I remember now, because it was one of the intro songs for the series.
Right. Interesting.
Ain't No Love in the Heart of the City.
All right, here we are. Bobby Bland. There with Ain't No Love. And It's about time to finish the show. In fact, it's it is over time to finish the show, really. But here we go. We're going to go out with... Tell us about this one, Paul.
Okay, so the reason I know Bobby Bland was I used to listen a lot and go to concerts of the Jive Bombers and Neighbours, which was a Rick Bryant band, and he died a few years ago, and they played a lot of Bobby Bland. So I think you've found some Windy City Strugglers, which was Rick's last band,
yeah. And the bands before that, you were running me through them, yeah. What'd you say, the Jive Bombers,
Neighbours, yeah. Tom Ford's Veranda Band.
Yeah.
So these are all Wellington-type bands
from
the early 80s.
Right, okay.
When I was a teenager.
Young and getting them out, and live music.
Going to live music every weekend, yeah.
Nice. All right, well... thanks for being on the studio. Very fortunate of you to pop in, Paul.
I'm really glad I called by. So thanks for listening to me, Craig.
Yeah, no worries. Chat. Thanks for coming on. Very nice. And so here goes Windy City Strugglers with his song Snow on the Desert Road. And we'll leave it like that, I think, folks. And thanks for listening. And enjoy your week. And I'll be back probably next week again. I'll be back on Friday morning to do another takeover show with another DJ, Tony. But I'll be back on the Over the Fence show next week, so ka kite there, folks, and mi haere aho. I've got to go, and thanks again, Paul, and take it easy out there, folks.